All right, here we go. Scurry Face presents Night of the Living Dreads. That's right. You see that we have a special guest host with us on site. We have Teresa has just joined us. Let me get her in. Teresa, thank you so much for joining us. We actually just started. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
I'm Otis B. Dreads. We have Jackal Monkey, and I think we have maybe one of the three Evil Dead girls' biggest fans right there, Tom, Mr. Tom.
How are you?
So you're the biggest fan of the three?
I don't know that I can classify myself as the biggest, but definitely one of. Definitely one of. I mean, the entire cast of the first movie, really.
Yeah, were the best.
I loved everybody in that.
Yeah, I'm glad that. I'm not sure if you're, like, speaking in sign language, this thing.
Oh, I was just throwing up devil horns.
Oh.
Like, rock on.
Because I don't know it. That's okay.
Well, now all we're missing is Betsy, which I'm sure she'll be joining us momentarily. So while we're waiting for Betsy, why don't we start with you, Jackal Monkey? Let's just go around the horn, and we're just going to have basically an open discussion about projects you've worked on since The Evil Dead, although a lot of people, I mean, there's so many.
Years.
Exactly. I've been looking at your IMDb. It's quite lengthy, yours and Betsy's. So we'll just start with Jackal Monkey. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. What I thought was really cool was how all of you guys met. Can you tell us all how you met Bruce and Sam?
Yeah. Can you hear my helicopter? The police are protecting my house right now. So I was just, you know, knocking around Detroit trying to get a job acting. And it's kind of a funny story that I just learned about lately. The guy who was best friends with Scotty, whose name, I think he calls himself Hal Belvedge, but that's not his real name. Anyway, Hal... had a friend who actually was going to audition for Evil Dead. And instead, they hired Hal. And I don't really know the whole reason, but the guy who was supposed to get the movie actually gave Sam and Bruce my name and picture because he also worked in a theater in the area. And I just learned that, like, maybe a couple years ago, that's how they got my name. I mean, I had been auditioning in theaters and things like that, but right. I really didn't know the whole story. So I thought that was, he said, you know, I gave your picture to Sam. And I go, really? I had no idea. So that was kind of a funny little story. Yeah.
Did you and Betsy know each other before you guys got together on Evil Dead? How did that whole meeting come about? Because you guys, I've seen, you know, some videos of you guys doing, you know, cons and doing the whole panels. And it looks like you guys have a lot of fun. You guys joke around back. You guys look like your best friends. So I'm curious on how that relationship started because you work very well together.
Well, it's funny, and I wish you were here, but, you know, Betsy is notoriously late, so she likes to make a grand entrance. So
absolutely.
I will be in the middle of my story, and she will show up, but we did not know each other. I didn't know anybody, unlike Ellen, who was friends with Bruce and Sam. They went to high school together. They did a lot of things. You probably know that. See, I heard her. She's just showing up, right?
I don't see her yet. I haven't got the ding, but
that was my phone, I think.
I heard a ding. That's okay. So, yeah, so we did not know each other. We met on the set, and, you know, it was one of those, it was an unusual situation where we all got kind of driven down to Tennessee, even though they had no idea what the shooting schedule was. So we were just kind of like a commune waiting for our debut. And so there was a lot of downtime in between what you were supposed to tape and so or film. And so Betsy and I spent a lot of time walking around Tennessee, up and down the hills. And we did become very close. In fact, we talked to each other at least three times a day, almost every day still, because we are very good friends and we have a lot of fun together. So we do, one of the key things in doing this Evil Dead, any kind of conventions, was that we did it together because we thought it would just be fun to be together and travel and meet people. So yeah, she and I have become very close. We got married. We found our wedding dresses together. We got married a day apart.
Wow.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Yeah, we've stayed friends. And really the whole cast, it's kind of weird. Oh, she's calling me right now.
She's calling to tell you she's late.
Betsy, we're all here waiting for you. She can't get on. She's having trouble. I'm telling them that you're having trouble.
Is she using a phone or a computer?
Are you using a phone or a computer? Computer.
Okay, should be pretty easy then.
Wow.
Should be pretty easy then. So he sent a link about 15, 20 minutes ago. And that's what you've tried to link on? Numerous times, folks.
Oh no.
I can try to do it. I can send it again.
The IT guy is gonna send it back to you. Maybe it got destroyed in the weather. I don't know. You wanna send it again to her? So that's what they're gonna do.
Yep.
Yep.
He's going to send it now.
He's sending it now, and hopefully we can get her on with us.
Otherwise, I'll have to. I can't remember all your credits, so I am afraid they're not going to. Uh huh. So, do you want to just talk? I can put you on speaker. She's trying to use her phone.
Oh, okay.
So the computer didn't work. Mine worked immediately. I don't know why.
Yeah, on the computer, it should just be, it brings it up. You type in your name and as long as you're.
Did anything, what happened when you did it? It's a blank screen. Oh, it's a blank screen, she said.
That's very strange.
Yeah, I've never even come across that kind of problem, so I'm kind of in the dark. But I love the on-the-fly type atmosphere we got going on. It keeps us on our toes. Yeah.
We just need some mosquitoes now. I don't know what... So I'm the wrong person to be mediating this problem. Are you having any luck, B?
She just needs to join us.
Oh, God. Maybe there's the Necronomicon or whatever is affecting your computer.
Necronomicon.
I see another one.
I haven't been drinking yet.
So you sent her another one?
Okay, well, I think this is her trying to get in, but she has to connect a mic / cam.
Do you see the
otherwise it won't let me bring her in.
Okay. You have to Okay, I think she's going to be with us shortly.
Okay.
Full body, not just phone. Baby.
This is one for the ages. I love it.
Wait, all the actors you talk to are really able to just do this really easily?
I mean, for the most part, I mean, without your, you know, normal technical gremlins and internet gremlins, yeah.
Well, we're special.
Yeah, you are.
You get more so than you know. To some of us, anyway. Just saying.
You know what? I should hang up with you because you're doing this with your phone. Call me back if you don't get on, but I think you're getting there.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're on the way. So hang up with me and try it. Bye.
Oh, so she was doing it with her phone then in the second try?
Yeah, and she said she saw us, and she saw that little drop down that said, you know, sign on with your phone or your microphone.
Now I think that's what she needs to somewhere.
That's what she needs to agree to is to agree to connect. Oh,
here we go.
Uh-oh. And there she is.
Excellent.
That's awesome. It.
Sort of.
Was that you coughing or what?
You know what? I don't know. See, it's bad.
Do you happen to have like earbuds that you can connect? We can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Not that well.
But if you have an earbud that has like a microphone on it, we could hear you a lot better.
How about me? Is my hearing? Are you hearing me okay?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the tension is just killing me. The suspense is like, it's great.
All right. Well, let me know when you're ready, Betsy.
Well, it's going to take a few minutes to.
No, you're good.
No, there you go.
Now we hear you. Now we hear you great.
Yeah, now we can hear you real good.
Okay. Perfectly fine. Are you on the phone?
We spoke too soon.
All right. Well, welcome, Betsy. Yes. Welcome again, Teresa. Now let's just go around the room. Let's start with Tom. Who do you want to address first? We have the fashionably late Betsy.
I told them that.
She did. This is not my brainchild. That was your friend there. So, Tom, do you want to start out? Ask either one of these ladies. As hard as it's been to get everyone together, you better make it a good question.
Oh well. First and foremost, and as I was telling Teresa, that the Evil Dead, the very first Evil Dead movie that you were both in, is like one of my favorite movies of all. I love everybody in it, especially the women. And you know, I'm sorry to say this, Teresa, but it's only because of how much makeup you had on when you became a deadite. But Betsy made the cutest deadite of anybody in the entire franchise. Just sitting there on the floor, all pretty with that big smile and laughing. I love it every time I see it. I just had to watch it again last night.
Well, there you go.
That was probably my thousands. That was probably like my thousandth time watching it, maybe more than that. I don't know at this point, but I just had to watch it mostly for that scene right there, but wholly for the entire movie. But I would guess my question would be, did you both know that in one of the interviews that Bruce had done pertaining to the connection between Evil Dead 1 and 2, that he said that there actually is a connection, that they were not able to do a direct sequel to it because they lost the rights to it somehow or something about that. I can't remember exactly. But Bruce said if you actually go about halfway through the Evil Dead 2 movie, there's a portion where the evil force is coming through the back door. Same thing it did at the very end of the first one. He said, if you start Evil Dead 2 right there, right after the end of Evil Dead 1, he said, that is actually the continuation. Were either of you two aware of that fact?
I know.
I was not. Teresa, how about you?
Oh. Yeah, I actually, well, you know that they couldn't get the rights, right? You know that story. So they had to sell the rights in order to get the first movie distributed. That's why they didn't have the rights. But they had interviewed Betsy to be in the second movie, right?
That was another part of my question.
Yeah. So they were just, you know.
Yeah, they had contacted me.
Were you going to keep speaking? You kind of dropped off there in the middle of the sentence. They called.
No,
they
go ahead, Kate. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. You go ahead.
The internet's fun, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
I haven't said a word.
Okay, so they had contacted Betsy. She was with child and was unable to do that movie because I guess when they would have, I don't know, she would have been 6 months pregnant or something.
Oh, wow.
And they started to shoot. There was no way she was going to be anywhere near Sam Raimi during her pregnancy. Because God knows what would happen. So, yeah, she didn't do it. But they had tried to tie those together. I did know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the whole first half of the movie is just like they just like threw it together just so that they can then do the second half of the movie.
Right.
And that was to be the continuation. But I must say that Betsy made a much better Linda than the woman in the second one. My opinion.
I'd have to agree.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you frozen, B?
She might be.
Yeah, because
there she is.
I was gonna ask Betsy same thing I asked Teresa. How can you tell everyone how you met Bruce and Sam? Because I thought that was a pretty awesome story whenever I read that.
Uh-oh.
Well, yeah.
Internet.
Story with
internet.
Which that I couldn't do the show.
What happened?
Can you hear me? Moving from room to room, from router to router, to see if this is any better. Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. Sure. All right.
Are you guys hearing me? Can you give me a thumbs up or something?
There
you
go.
Your audio is good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, your audio is doing good now. Oh.
But,
okay. There we go. Now you're back. Oh, this is great. Oh.
Completely gone now.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was just like an internet issue. For her. She seemed to be like lagging where she wasn't hearing us for like a minute or two.
Exactly. Yeah. There was a big lag, but we got plenty of questions until maybe we can get her back on. Teresa, I have a question for you. I know the outtakes of Evil Dead and working with Bruce Campbell because he is such a funny guy. When I listen to the commentary that they do on the DVD package, him cutting on Sam, I mean, it, and then both of them cutting on each other back and forth. How funny. Do you have a favorite moment working with Bruce, you know, in any regards?
Well, he is very engaging and animated, and yeah, you pretty much just get a glass of wine and sit there and let Bruce entertain you, because that's pretty much what he does. He's a good listener too. I mean, he will he'll let you. He doesn't totally upstage you, but he's very funny. He knows how to kind of keep everyone's spirits up, which was really helpful during that shoot because we had a lot of very low-spirited moments.
Do we have Betsy back?
Uh-oh. We have some version of Betsy, but I don't know if it's the one we want.
She's
frozen with her finger right there. Maybe she's
I'm trying.
Okay. There we go.
The internet is a marvelous thing.
Yeah.
Such a marvelous thing.
So great they perfected it after all these years.
really brings people together.
Yeah. Awesome. So just to finish up on my point, Bruce really kept the spirits up for the whole shoot, and he did often tease Sam. They were really funny together. They all went to high school, Alan, Bruce, and Sam. I think they did a lot of shorts together. And Bruce was always the one that would slip on the banana peel. I mean, they were very inspired by the Three Stooges. I don't know if you can tell.
Right.
It's been around, that information. Yeah. So in the movies, it was in their whole personality, you know, really. I don't know, and Bruce is still like that. We see him quite a bit on the trail, the convention trail, and he's very generous. He always takes us all out to dinner, and we always spend a nice time with him, and it's fun. It's always kind of like a high school. We see the other cast.
Right. Yeah, that's. I'd heard that he actually would like hold the door open for each one of you ladies on set whenever y'all would all come in soaked in gore and Karo syrup and just sticky and nasty, you know, and he would tell, oh, each one of you looks, oh, you all look so beautiful, and hold the door open for you and stuff like that.
That sounds like Bruce. I mean, I don't specifically remember that moment, but, you know, it's been 40 years, so.
Right. Yeah. 40 years. Like, and like, how does it feel to be part of such an iconic horror film?
Well, you know, it's fun. I mean, as horrible as it was to make, it was it's still a lot of fun to just be a part of history, of horror film history. And, you know, I don't know. I feel very lucky that I was able to be part of that.
I've heard you guys mention you as well as Betsy, as well as Ellen, you know, mentioned that when you guys were making this, you had no thought that this was going to be what it has become now.
or even
released. I mean, you got to be dumbfounded even after 40 years. It's got to still kind of feel surreal that a movie like this has taken on pretty much a life of its own, has spawned, I mean, everything.
I would say what Tom said is accurate. We didn't think it would be released. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seemed like you know, when you're starting out as an actor, you do so much stuff that's terrible. And everything, plays, you just don't know what's, you know, a lot of it is just junk. And so we put it in that junk category, you know, thinking, oh my God, this is the stupidest thing we've ever done. And, you know, as they're making us spit out milk and peanut butter or whatever they had, we just thought it was
ridiculous. Right.
So, no, as far as being iconic, no, we didn't think it would even be, you know, released.
Released.
Yeah. And it wasn't for a long time. Mm-hmm.
And it changed names, too.
Yeah. Well, I was so, well, that's a whole another story. I mean, I was at the union. I'm sure you've heard about it. And I was told you know, I couldn't. Well, Sam and Bruce and Rob said, "Oh yeah, we'll do a union thing," and the union said, "Oh yeah, you know, they'll do a union thing." And then by the time we went to leave for the shoot, nobody had done anything, and it was like, you know what? This is never going to be released. I'm just going to do this because I'm already kind of committed. So I just thought, oh, I'll just change my name. You know, no one's ever going to see this.
There you Interesting. Go. Speaking of, you mentioned doing the horror con circuit. Are you currently involved in, you know, doing the cons this year?
Well, you know, we kind of have been talking and we're feeling like not that great about going out into the unknown world of COVID. We've had a couple discussions and some at one minute, you know, they want you to come masked and then they change it and then it's back and voila!
Hey.
What did you do?
Am I a technological genius or what?
You are. Man, that is awesome.
Wow.
I didn't mean to interrupt Teresa, although I often do, so I'll just let her finish.
I was just doing time until Madame showed up.
Sorry, fashionably late.
Yes,
yes. Yes, Teresa had warned us, that's for sure.
But I am sorry. My Chrome, whenever I linked it, whenever I tried to copy paste or even click on it, my Chrome was not picking it up. So I had to start from the bottom and put Chrome back into my computer, but then they wouldn't let me copy it. It's done. I'm here. Hello. I'm sorry.
Thank the God.
No problem. Well, glad to have you here. Yes.
I'm sorry. As you were saying,
I don't remember.
You might not remember.
Well, I got a question. Go ahead, Jackamonkey.
Question that I had earlier, Betsy, is can you tell everyone how you met Bruce and Sam? I've read the story and I thought it was really, really awesome. Can you tell everybody about that?
She's frozen again.
No.
Well, is it the story about me working at a strip club? Because that's not true.
Yeah. No, no.
No, but it sounds like a good way to start.
So am I frozen again?
No, you're here.
No, it was you at the diner, meeting them at the diner.
I think they did not want to pay a rental fee for renting an office to interview people, so they asked if I would meet them at a restaurant. So I met them at a restaurant in a suburb of Detroit one afternoon, like a Thursday, random Thursday afternoon at around 4:30 or 5. I think it was actually just as the restaurant was opening, so for the evening. So there were a lot of empty tables. And so these three young guys, I mean, they were young, back in the back corner, just screwing like they had just...
I know the story. Each other.
Yeah. And that's how we met. And I didn't know who they were. I didn't know they were just kids, that they were pretty harmless. And so at the time I was dating a guy who is different than my husband right now, but I was dating a guy and I asked him to go with me because I had no idea whether I would be carted off in the trunk of a car or not. So I asked him to go along with me and he just kind of rolled his eyes and, you know, basically said, these guys are harmless. They can't even order drinks yet. They were underage, so they couldn't even order drinks. So it was all good.
Right. Awesome. And
you forgot the part where they would like blow the straw paper at each other.
Oh no, that's what I just said. They were, when I walked in, they were blowing straw paper at each other.
We didn't hear that.
Yeah, sorry.
That's so awesome. That's hilarious. Like, I found that very, very comical. It's just a couple of guys goofing around. Like,
yeah. Well, I think they were really nervous. I think they actually, this was the beginning of their process of casting the show or casting the movie. So they were seeing a few people, and I honestly think it was to the point where the casting director or the agency that Teresa and I were signed up with was going to charge them a small fee for meeting in one of their office rooms, and they didn't want to do that. And it's one of the little things that just showed how clever they are. They just said, no, we don't have to meet in your office. We'll meet on the street. We'll meet in a restaurant. Bye. And people as stupid as Teresa and I just said, okay, we'll meet you at the restaurant, whatever.
I actually was more stupid than Betsy because I met in Sam Raimi's basement. Talk about
creepy. Oh, no.
Right.
You actually did not meet in Sam Raimi's basement. You actually met in Sam Raimi's parents' basement. Because right, he was still living with his parents at the time. Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that.
I'm sure Sam appreciates you doing that.
Yeah.
Right. It actually was his basement because he lived there with his mommy and dad.
With his mommy and daddy. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty fun. So I like, you know, you go to the front door and Mrs. Raimi answers the door. Yes, my son is downstairs playing in the basement. We keep
playing in the basement.
That's exactly what she said. Yeah, the boys are downstairs. Go on downstairs.
Like the kids, we keep the kids downstairs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're down there playing Dungeons and Dragons. Go on there.
Yeah.
Right. that's actually hilarious.
Awesome.
Betsy, I got a question for you because when you turned into a deadite, you were wearing those contacts, the white ones that apparently you could not see a damn thing. How difficult was that to, you know, I guess hit your marks, do your particular scene being completely blind?
Well, if you go back and look at that one scene where I start to attack Bruce against the wall and he's in front of the bookshelf, you'll see it's not only badly choreographed, it's badly done because the opposite had to happen. Bruce could see, but I couldn't. So if I was taking, I think it was a sword. Yeah, it was that Nemochromicon sword or whatever.
The Kandorian sword.
He had to change his choreography and make it look like he was being attacked, but in actuality, he knew that I couldn't see anything. So he had to like be 1 millisecond ahead of me and choreograph his own, you know, scalping scene or whatever, because I truly could not see. At the same time that I could not see, it was an actual sword. Tom Sullivan had just put on this decorative crown, but it was a real sword. So if Bruce had not watched and seen every movement that I was trying to make in being without sight, I could have really injured him. So it was actually pretty tricky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and quite dangerous too. Yeah.
You could liken it to a pinata party with a 7-year-old, but the pinata really is just made of paper mache. It doesn't really have a say in if it's going to survive or not. Bruce actually, I felt, wanted to survive and also wanted to make sure the scene looked good. So it was a little, I guess it was a little trickier than a pinata party.
The character.
I also had to jump on Rich, on Scotty, the blind, the lenses. I was up above him. I didn't know where he was. He had to time it so that it looked like I was jumping on him, but he was actually getting under me before I fell because I was up high jumping, had no idea where he was.
Wow.
That shower scene when he comes in.
And the character Ash does seem to have a problem with bookshelves in that movie. Like I think he got thrown into bookshelves like 2 or 3 times. And every time he did, he like struggled to get up because his arm was totally around one of the shelves or whatever. It's like, dude, just take your arm out and get up.
Yeah.
First of all, it was clear that Bruce, the Bruce's character, had not been in the library very often in his life. Second of all, it appeared as though the people that actually owned the cabin were voracious readers. You know, there was bookshelves on almost every wall.
Well, he was an archaeologist of sorts or something like that.
That's true.
Don't let Bruce put your IKEA shelves together. That's right.
And he did all well. Did everybody do their own stunts in there? I know he did.
Yeah.
Did anybody get hurt?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I saw some stories.
I can't remember. Teresa, did he sprain his ankle or break his ankle?
I think he. I don't know. He was limping though for a long
time. Yeah, you can see in a lot of scenes, especially when he starts to drag Linda up the hill after he's done to her. He is clearly, it's not because it's a hill. He is clearly limping very, very badly. And his ankle was about the size of my laptop. And it was pretty bad. And I know everybody got banged up and cut. We had some injuries, not injuries, but we had some real concerns with the contacts, because they literally, the optometrist had told us over and over again, we had to go to an eye doctor and be fitted and be tested. And he actually came down to the set from Detroit. And he said over and over, these girls cannot have these contacts in for more than, 15 minutes at a time? And Sam often stretched 15 minutes. Because they're solid. They were opaque, so there was no air or oxygen getting to your eyes.
Right.
They were thick. They weren't... a thin lens. They were like teacups. Remember, you used to call them teacups.
Yeah. So we often actually, on those nights that any of the three of us were using the contacts, one of us would go to the set to make sure, because once your eyes get dry too, you could not remove the contacts. So it was really hard. So everybody got banged up, pretty dinged up.
And I know you were talking about that scene where Ash was Bruce was dragging Linda out of the house and up the hill. I think I read somewhere that actually wasn't you when Linda was being dragged by the feet.
Au contraire, that was me.
It was you? Okay.
It was me. Yeah.
I always look to try to figure it out. I'm like, you can't tell.
At the time, I probably weighed a hell of a lot less, but regardless, that was me. There were some scenes in the graveyard or in the grave where he buried me. I mean, they did bury me alive, but when they had to come and do pickups and I wasn't available, they had a couple of, as Bruce and Sam would call them, fake shemps. But, that was me.
Oh, okay.
What was your, and this can be for both of you, what was your guys' first impression when you read this script? I mean, I know it is widely mentioned that, we didn't think this was even going to get made, as we talked a little bit earlier. But what was your guys' first impression? Was it just because you were hungry actresses and you wanted to maybe start making a name for yourself? What drew you to Evil Dead?
I think it was the Shakespearean-like dialogue that got me involved.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. I actually just, it was a very loosely written script, and we've made many comments at conventions that it had nothing, a lot of the movie was not anywhere near what the script was written. And it was a horror film, but Bruce's, Sam's idea of describing in detail, in great detail, of the scenes that were going to take place often were a quarter of a page long. He would script by saying, Shelley gets thrown into the fire. Next page.
Well, and also, we had no idea what Ellen's scene was with the tree, because what Sam had written was, the woods attack Cheryl.
Yeah.
That's all he said.
Well, we got a lot more detailed than that.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
So, what we read was nothing like what the movie ended up in the movie. So, we weren't really that critical of the script. We were more like, we're going to be in a feature film. I had never even seen a horror movie at that point. I don't know if you had, Betsy. No, never saw We were into theater.
Right.
We didn't do all
Shakespearean.
Yes, we had no idea. So
yeah, I think I had seen Rosemary's Baby and thought that was the ultimate horror film. Maybe. You know, and they had expressed to us that they were very, very, very excited and they wanted to do this film. And then they said, we're going to film this on location. We're going to go out of the state. I don't know about Teresa, but I went, wow, we're doing a movie that we have to travel to and stay overnight.
Right.
I thought it was 6 weeks. For me, it turned out to be like 12, 14 weeks. For Teresa, she like went into the new year. So it was, There was a big part of it. We were all young and we were, I don't know if it was just we weren't so much naive as we were just excited about working and being creative.
And, that had to have been exciting being, you know, young and traveling for the first time, or maybe the first time working on a, you know, a movie that you had no idea was going to get off the ground like it has. That had to have been, you know, extremely exciting. Now, would you guys say that, do you like horror movies anymore being a part of, you know, such an iconic film like Evil Dead? Do you guys like it anymore? That's just not really your thing.
Well, I mean, I've watched more, like I have a more critical eye of them now, of course, than I ever did, or I care a little bit more, but it certainly isn't the first thing I go to watch if I, you know, have some time to go to a movie. It's really, I don't like being scared and I don't like being grossed out.
Right.
And you were in the perfect movie for not being grossed out.
I know, right?
Yeah. The most terrible things in the world happened to Bruce in that movie. I mean,
well, even what happened to Betsy with the pencil in the heel, you know, that.
Yeah, that was an ouchie. I'm going to tell you that right now. And Bruce didn't suffer too bad in the long run, I got to tell you. I mean, we can all cry here and sit, feel sorry for Bruce Campbell, but no, it's just
there is no reason to feel sorry for Bruce Campbell.
That shot looked so real. The pencil to the ankle, that shot looked so real.
Well, that was due, I think, in large part to Tom Sullivan, who actually took a mold of my leg and then. It was basically foam rubber, but it looked pretty real. They did a nice job.
Yep.
Yeah, they had a lot of talent in that regard, which is probably why the movie's so iconic. You know, they had no budget. And
that was going to be another question that I actually had too. Was did they make a mold of your head for when your head got cut off with the shovel?
All of us.
I think they made. A plaster mold of all of our faces and all of our heads, because they all, Teresa and Ellen, they wore those god awful, masks for weeks, literally.
And then my hand when I chewed it off too.
What was that made of?
What's that?
The hand that you, when it chewed off your hand, what was that made of?
Well, it was the same thing that Betsy's leg. I mean, they had very few resources. I think Tom was more of an artist and he brought whatever he had. He wasn't really a makeup artist per se, but he was able to create a very realistic body parts. So yeah, it was, and then he had these complicated pipings that went through the hand so that when I chewed it off, the blood would squirt out. And I don't remember my hand. I don't think my hand totally fell off in one shot. I'd have to go back and look, but I think he replaced. I don't know. I can't remember how that went, but I did do a lot of chewing. I remember that.
Those guys named Tom, they're so awesome, man. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
And so have either of you? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Tom.
I was just going to ask if either of you have since making the movie, have you ever been back to the location of where the cabin was? Uh-oh, we lost Betsy.
I think Betsy just went right now.
She's like, screw it, I'm going.
I'm going. I know for a fact that she hasn't, and neither have I. No.
Because, I mean, the only thing that's really left is like the, like a little bit of the foundation and the fireplace. And that's it. But it is still there. And I do intend on visiting that someday before it falls down altogether, just because I have to. And the ditch is still there for the fake basement, too.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yep. And it's been said that it was either Bruce or Sam had buried something on the site. I don't know if anybody ever found it, but it was some kind of memorabilia of the movie, that something was supposed to be buried. And I think Bruce talked about it in an interview, an audio interview I listened to years ago. And he said, to his knowledge, nobody had found it yet. And he said, no, it's not in the pit where the basement would be.
I think that I heard he planted in a little like box, $1 million.
Well, then I'm definitely going there. No, I won't be able to dig, though. That's private property. You have to get permission. You will get shot if you go there without permission.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's Tennessee, you know.
Wait, are all you guys in Tennessee? Are all you guys in Tennessee?
No, I'm in Philly.
No. I'm in Ohio.
Oh,
I'm in Texas.
Where are you, Jim?
I'm in Texas. I'm in right outside Waco.
Oh, you're in Waco. Wow.
Yeah, that always brings a little snicker every time. Everybody's like, Ranch Division.
That explains a lot.
We ain't coming out.
I really
don't. And that was a question that something that was connected to what they were saying earlier. I think it was Tom. Would either of you have either one of you thought about possibly doing another horror movie?
Well, I know you have done a couple, right, B?
We actually have done a couple. We've actually worked together on a horror comedy called Brutal Massacre, which was a parody of horror movies. And each of us have done, you know, a few thrillers or whatever, and they don't live up to the iconic nature of Evil Dead, and Evil Dead has its own unique niche for so many ways. Oh, Tom, you just turned on your light. Nice going.
That's because I was looking up that movie, so I have it there to know to watch it, the Brutal Massacre.
Yeah.
See, I switched to another tab, and bam.
Yeah, there you go.
And then there's Women that we did.
No, to answer your question, because we've been asked this question about the remake of Evil Dead, and I think Teresa and I, and even Ellen, are on the same page as perhaps it sounds like Tom is. You know, and I think, quite frankly, Ellen said it best at one convention. You know, there's horror, and there's the enigma of what's around the corner or what's at the top of the roller coaster, which is what Sam was known for back then. He loved to take the audience to the top of the roller coaster like they were going to fall off, and then he'd drop them down, and then he'd bring them up, and it was suspense after suspense after suspense. But it wasn't always violent. Ellen expressed in this one convention that she felt that the Evil Dead remake, because people said, oh, did you like the remake? And she said, no. And she explained that it was because it was so incredibly violent. And the remake actually wasn't true to the story of Evil Dead. You know, we didn't do cocaine. We're not heroin junkies in the first Evil Dead. And right. So if you're going to do a remake, do a remake. If you're going to do a remake of Bambi, don't have, you know, some deer go off into New York City and try and get a job as a bartender. That's not a remake. I mean, really. So, yeah, and I think Teresa and I have talked about this. We've been asked about it before. There is a real enigma to a good thriller and horror movie, and then there's just out-and-out violence, and neither one of us really, really care for, you know, the out-and-out violence of something.
Well, the best part of the whole movie.
I know I'm speaking for Teresa, and I often do, but I think that she will agree with me on that, right?
The best part of the whole movie was at the end of the credits, where you just got to see Bruce's silhouette and he says groovy. And I was like, that just made the whole movie better. And yeah. And then it made me go and research why they had him in at the end. And I mean, I know it would be homage, this and that, but there had to be a reason beyond that. And apparently they were supposed to, but they're not going to do it anymore because he's just not going to play Ash anymore on film. So he says, we don't know, but it was supposed to be that was like an alternate universe where it's the same cabin, just in another universe. And then at some point that chick that survived at the end and Ash would meet up. There was all kinds of stories floating around about it. So I don't know if it was the actual intention, but it wasn't long after that like Ash versus Evil Dead like wound up being canceled off of Stars. And it was right after that he was quoted saying that he will not play Ash on film anymore. He'll do the voice for like video games and stuff, but that's about it. Mm. So now we just need to make a 3D version of, 3D cartoon version of Evil Dead, and we just get him to do the voice and we'll be all right.
Yeah.
But all of you.
Speaking of, I don't know if you've heard, but we do have, we're lined up for the game, Evil Dead, the video game.
Oh, really?
Awesome.
We're
That's so awesome.
The studio and recreate our voices, and I know they're using our likeness. We have no idea what that looks like, but it's kind of exciting.
That would be great. I've been following the little video sneak peeks that they give you of the game and everything since it first started. Like I came across it by happenstance like a while back, and I was like, oh my God. And then they started showing footage from it. I'm like, oh my God, you could be young Ash, you could be old Ash, you could be a Deadite. It doesn't matter. This game is awesome.
Oh, is that right?
And now that,
oh yeah.
That has me even more excited that y'all are involved, because that was the whole reason I even got a game system, was because of the Evil Dead game.
oh my gosh.
Well, we're in it. Yeah.
Betsy, I asked Teresa this earlier. Are you doing any of the horror con circuits, or are you involved in any of the upcoming horror cons this year?
This year, I'm not certain. I know that there's still been, I don't know what Teresa said, but we both would agree, because we've been in contact with our, booking agent. There's still a great concern about with the pandemic, and you put a lot of people into a room that's closed. That's pretty much how conventions go. And so I don't, whether you're going to a IBM or a Microsoft convention or a horror convention, they're all pretty much in an enclosed convention center. So I think that it is unfortunate, because it's also the 40th year that, Evil Dead was finished, and it would have been just a phenomenal year of appearances and getting together with Bruce and Richie and Ellen, but it just, it didn't happen. And so, hey, the Olympics were supposed to be held last year and they were held this year. So maybe in year 41 or 42, we can say it's been 40 years and everybody, we'll just walk around, see everybody at conventions going, 1, 2, 3.
I'm running out of toes.
But we love to do them. I tell you, one of the reasons why we love to do them is because not only were they fun and fans are genuinely interested in seeing us, it allowed us, and it doesn't allow a lot of people in the entertainment business, unless you appear at like a convention like this, or you go on the Johnny Carson show or something, to thank the fans. And we've been able to sit with them at dinners, at breakfasts, at our tables, and really thank them for being such great fans. And I know it sounds really corny, but it really isn't. I mean, we're really grateful that we've been able to meet the fans that enjoy this movie so much.
And, I think, even from a, just a fan's point of view, I can agree 110% with what you just said, Betsy, because I went to my first con just about a month or so ago, and it was so personal with, Bill Moseley there throwing his arm around me, getting pictures and talking, and And it was just so such a personal experience where you just walk up to these people and you just talk to them, just normal people, you know, that love the art that, you know, you guys have been a part of. It's really an awesome experience. So, and I hope, because there's a couple cons that I want to go to this year, and I'm hoping that with the way things are going with the pandemic, that things do not get shut down again, because it's almost like we got a little taste of it. And where it's like, oh, now we're almost back to normal. Yes, let's go to these cons, let's go to these big events, and then this. So hopefully it doesn't, you know, throw too much of a monkey wrench in the program. We got about 5 minutes left. Tom, let's start with you. Any final questions for Teresa and Betsy?
I can't think of any questions off the top of my head. Just a comment that you, as well as Ellen, as well as Bruce, as well as why am I skipping on his name? Richard.
Oh, Rich.
Well, that's what it says on IMDb, so that's what I'm going by. I loved each and every one of you in this movie. I watch it any chance I get to when it's on. I've even watched it just sitting here online and everything. I love the entire Evil Dead franchise, but the first one was the one that started it, and I thank you all for being a part of this, and I can't imagine anybody else replacing any one of you in that movie.
Oh, thank you.
That's very nice of you to say. Thank you.
It's honesty.
Jackal Monkey, the floor is yours.
I want to say thank you both very much for taking your time and joining us this evening. Like I was saying, I mean, The Evil Dead is such an iconic horror film. Like, I mean, and the 40th anniversary, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Like, an international super horror film. Like, thank you both so much for joining us tonight. I can't express my gratitude enough. Thank you both.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And I pretty much have to just kind of accentuate what both Tom and James has said. It has been a pleasure, even with the little slight technical issues and Betsy being fashionably late. It all worked out in the end. And it does have to be, I mean, I'm sure you have heard these, both of you, these compliments and, oh man, Evil Dead has changed my life. And I've seen so many pretty touching stories in the Hail to the Deadites, the documentary that came out.
I
just watched it. Look at this guy.
Did you make that?
I didn't make this one.
But my buddy Dead Dave made this. But I was working on one similar, but it kind of fell apart on me. So
that looks good though. That one.
That's his, you know, it's his bedtime stories.
Huge fan. I absolutely love it.
Conda. Conda.
Well, definitely inward. Let's have a good time.
Definitely
with
inward.
That's really sweet, and we enjoyed talking to you, and this is great. Thank you for, you know, paying some tribute to our movie, because, you know, it's fun being part of a iconic movie. But doesn't take itself too seriously, but, you know, it's still scary and fun, so.
And then that's the main thing. It's fun. It's entertaining. And it's kind of corny sometimes. But that's what makes it, I think, special and gives it its own little, you know, mark in horror history. So, thank both of you, ladies, for joining us. We're so honored to be able to talk to you. We actually tried to get Ellen as well and have it, you know, the three late, but she could not do it for whatever reason, and that was fine. We are truly honored to have spoken with you two. Hey, thank you guys. I don't know if you have to leave right this second. We could say bye off once we stop the live. I'll just put you in the backstage if you have to leave. know, feel free. We're just going to say bye to everyone, and then we can come back and say bye to you after we wrap things up. So I'm going to put you guys in the backstage real quick. That was so much fun, guys.
It was.
Man, I mean, again, even the little glitches there in the beginning, I thought it worked out really, really well. I want to thank everyone in the chat room.
I controlled my fanboyism.
You did. You tried. You tried. You definitely tried. You did a good job at that. thank you guys in the chat room. And again, one more thank you to Teresa Tilly, Betsy Baker for joining us. Hey, we'll see you guys. Well, we got some, I think we're going to be talking to Ron Sloan next, the 17th. Of course, yeah, he played Junior Hubbard. And that was that part five? Right?
Yeah. They hurt me bad.
They hurt me bad. So stick around. Thank you guys. Scurryface.com, Scurryface over there. Their Facebook page. Of course, Tom does a little thing called This is Tom's World. Over there on YouTube. Get over there, subscribe. A lot of good stuff coming out that way. Of course, Nightmare Ninja Studios, Jackal Monkeys, a little mask making deal, and of course, Night of Living Dreads.com. We'll see you guys soon.
Bye.
Later.